Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. The Bible is filled with patterns that get repeated throughout history. And one of those patterns is that of leaders passing the baton of leadership to those whom they have trained and ministered alongside of before the goal was fully achieved. They passed the baton before the completion of the project. The mantle of leadership gets handed over before the crossing of the finish line. It is a common pattern that we see in Scripture. In the Old Testament, we see Moses leading the people of Israel through 40 grueling years of wandering in the wilderness. And he led the people all the way to the finish line, but the mantle of leadership was passed on to Joshua, who led them across the Jordan River to take possession of the land. Moses, however, did have the privilege of going up to the mountaintop and looking over the river to see the new home of God's people. He was able to see it with his eyes, even though his feet never were able to touch the soil themselves. Let's fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus spent 3.5 years turning common Jewish men into godly disciples that the Lord would use to turn the world upside down. Jesus had already promised to build his church, and then he further declared that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And to prove that he had the power to do that, he defeats sin. He conquers death. He rises from the dead and ascends into heaven. During his earthly ministry, he equipped the future leaders of his church. But he ascended into heaven before the church experienced its official birthday in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Instead, Christ stepped out of the way so that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, could come and indwell the believers. He stepped aside so that his disciples could cross the finish line and carry on the mission to make his name known to all the nations. He did that, and he already told them that's what he was going to do. In John 15, he tells them, greater works than these things that we've done together, greater works than the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. How do you do work greater than God himself? Well, it's not apart from God himself. It's actually continuing on that work as the Holy Spirit now lived inside of them. And it was greater in its extent. It was beyond just Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. It truly spread to the ends of the earth. So it was greater in scope. It was greater in amount of followers. It's reached down to us today. And so you see the fulfillment of Christ's promise. So we've seen Moses, we've seen Jesus. And in our minds, we still struggle with it, though. We wonder why the ones who labored to get it to the point of crossing the finish line were not the ones to bring it to full completion. And yet we cannot argue that this is often God's pattern and plan. You see it in the life of Paul over and over and over again, where he had to send Timothy and Titus to previous locations to just put in order the things that remained. Other people were able to cross the finish line. We can't argue that it is often God's pattern and plan, and as we examine it further, we actually find some very important and practical reasons of why the Lord chooses to operate this way. And so today, we're going to examine those reasons by looking at yet another biblical example of this pattern that I think really mirrors the situation that we have here at Chingola Church. I've asked you to open up to 1 Chronicles 29, and here we see King David passing the baton of leadership to his son Solomon. But only after doing everything in his power to set him up for success in leading God's people to magnify and honor their God. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And David, the king, said to all the assembly, 'Solomon, my son, whom God alone has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. And so I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able.'" Father in heaven, as we come to you now, we recognize the pattern that has been repeated over and over in Scripture. Now, Lord, we ask that you would help this brief study to be an encouragement to our hearts as we find ourselves in that same position. It has been my privilege to lead Chingola Church for this past year and 2 months. And Lord, we see your hand at work in so many ways. And now, Lord, we pray that we would stand in awe and wonder of that rather than being discouraged or frustrated by not having crossed the finish line. We pray that instead we would have great peace and confidence in you for the future. We ask that you would open up our eyes to see some exciting and important truths now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The one thing that I hope that you would take away from today would be this: God is honored when we do our best to fulfill our responsibilities, but submit to his sovereign authority, plans, and timing. It's two sides of the same coin, isn't it? God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. God is honored when we do our best to fulfill our responsibilities, but submit to his sovereign authority, plans, and timing. That's what the kids say about today. God's perfect, timeless plan. This concept is so important that God devoted the last 8 chapters of 1 Chronicles to revealing important details that I believe are very important and instructive for us as well. Although what we're about to read is not New Testament and it's not about a local church, there are going to be some very serious and significant overlaps. And so as we study this, I want us to recognize the principles and truths that we can and must apply today. These 8 chapters describe David's preparation for a physical temple to be built for the worship of God within the Jewish faith. Now, we're not trying to build a structure. We're not trying to build a building here for Chingola Church. God has provided us with a wonderful place to meet. And we're not talking about the Jewish faith. We're talking about the Christian faith. And yet, there's some important principles that I see overlapping. You see, because as David was preparing for the physical temple to be built, his focus is not on the physical structure either. Rather, his focus is on the purpose for which it was being built. The focus is on the worship of the one true God. And that is our purpose as followers of Jesus Christ. It is our purpose as a local church in Chingola. So, here are some of the principles that I hope that we'll be able to see as we go throughout the passage today. Let's actually turn back. We're not going to read all of these. We're just going to read some selected verses. Turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Because what we're going to see here is some of the details that prove the point of our big idea for today. The big idea is that God is honored when we do our best to fulfill our responsibilities, but submit to His sovereign authority, plans, and timing. What do we find here in 1 Chronicles 22? There is a desire to honor God that has overwhelmed David's heart. It has compelled him to move to action. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, "Then he, David, called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, 'My son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord my God.' But as we know, the Lord said, 'No, I appreciate the sentiment, I appreciate the desire, the worship, the adoration that you have for me, but you're not the man to do it. You had a different purpose. You were the man to conquer the enemies. You're a man of bloodshed. You're a man of war. And that was a important task that you were set apart for. But because I set you apart for that, you're not the right one for this. Even though your heart desires it, and it's a good desire, we're reserving that for your son to complete." So we see, first of all, the desire to honor God. Well, that's exactly what we have had here in Shingola. And I know it's in the heart of each one of you, but just for historical reference, this whole thing came about because that was in the heart of Chuck and Nina Kilpatrick. They wanted to see a church up here that would be able to honor God and be a light to all the nations, because God has brought so many different nationalities and ethnicities to our area. There are many good churches in Shingola, but not all of them are equipped to be reaching out to people of various nationalities and languages and cultures. That's why God laid it in their hearts and brought us then together so that we could do that very thing. So we see the desire to honor God. It's there. It was in David's heart all the way back in 1 Chronicles 22. It's in ours today. Number two, we see the submission to God's superior plans. Continuing on in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 8. David had just said, "I had it in my heart to build the house to the name of the Lord my God, but the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name because you have shed so much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest, a man of peace. I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever. Now, my son," as David continues speaking to Solomon, "now, my son, the Lord be with you so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God as he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed." Well, as I look to you now, I see a mirroring of what Israel was experiencing. In this situation, you have David, who could have really responded poorly. He could have said, "But Lord, why won't you allow me to do this? Yes, I'm a man of war. Yes, I've shed much blood, but only because you told me to. It's not like I was sinning. I was obeying you. So why can't I do this? You know, we see that a lot of times in our children. No, you can't do this. But why? No, we tend to be those children wanting to do a good thing, but do it our way and our timing. And David didn't do that. David accepted God's decision. David accepted God's plan. He submitted to it. And as we've been working towards this goal, I've had to do the same thing. I would have loved to see today be the Charter Church Service. But it's about God and His timing and His plan, not mine. And I know many of you are not dismayed at all about this, but some of you are. And so I'm not speaking to you as if I think that you're worried, but I do think, just as David spoke to Solomon to say, be strong and very courageous, do not fear, do not be dismayed. So I say that to you, especially to those who will be the future leaders. See, it's easy to be part of the congregation and not be so worried, but when the weight of responsibility gets transferred onto your shoulders, that does bring about some concern and can easily be a temptation for fear. Well, let's follow the pattern that we see in the lives of David and Solomon. Submission to God's superior plans. Number three, we see the commitment to do everything possible in order to prepare others for success. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, still, you see in verse 14 now, how does David continue? With great pains, I have provided for the house of the Lord. And then he goes down the list of all the material goods that he's provided for. And it took a lot of planning and a lot of sacrifice and a lot of work. And as we look at this now, here's what we can see. I mean, in 1 Chronicles 22, verses 1 to 5, it gets outlined. All the things that were already there, physically provided for. Then you start going through 14 on down to verse 19, and more details are given about what had been provided. But then it goes even more than that, beyond just the provision of material things. And I want us to see them. We're not going to look at each one. I'm just going to highlight it for you as we just see the similarities of where we're at. You see, the Lord has been at work here. And Bill laid a great foundation for those first 2 years he was teaching. And when I came in, it was for the purpose of getting us to that finish line so we could be a New Testament local church. And I would have to say, this year has been a challenging one. We all know the challenge of 2020 and COVID. But beyond that, what you didn't know was what I also didn't expect or know would be coming, the request for me to leave Zambia to step into the role of director for IBM Global. That meant training replacements at Central Africa Baptist University. It meant transitioning our family, preparing them. I mean, this has been a crazy year. And yet I hope you've sensed that you were never on the back burner. That Chingola Church wasn't something that was just a low priority to me. I hope you saw, through personal visits and interactions and counseling and teaching and training, that I love you guys. And with great pains, I've tried to provide for you everything you need to cross the finish line. What does that look like? Well, let's look like what it looked like for them in Israel. The commitment to do everything to prepare others for success. Look at these things that David did. Number one, he provided vision and direction. We see that in 1 Chronicles 22. That's what we did in September, August and September of last year. We got together and dreamt big about what God could do and asked you, is that what you want to see God do? We dreamed big. We said, God, give us your vision for Chingola. So we provided a vision and direction just like David did. Providing of physical materials. Making sure that everything was there. Well, we together did that. They're not here, but we bought the chairs, the fans, all of the stuff that we used for the flying club. And then God led us here. Who would have thought that we'd be in such a big, spacious place at this point in time? The physical provisions, material provisions have been laid so that we can move forward. If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 23 in your Bible, you'll see that there's a heading there. David organizes the Levites. What was he doing? Providing organized and trained workers so that the worship at the temple would be able to happen. The logistical things would be able to happen. Isn't that what we did together? We developed a hospitality team. Go Chuck's Cakes, right? Now I think they're Toby's Cakes. And so we did that. We had our worship team, our children's ministry, and look how they've all grown. Our adult teaching team. So providing of trained, organized workers. 1 Chronicles 24, providing of organized and qualified spiritual leaders. For them, that was the priests. For us, that's the future elders. Do you see the overlap, the mirroring? In 1 Chronicles 25, we see the provision of organized and trained worship leaders. Nina's back there shaking her head. Was that not awesome today? Wasn't it? We've got great worship leaders. Teams of people. Even COVID and Zoom calls couldn't prevent. In fact, I think it actually made us better as different families led from their homes. If one's not able to do it, we've got others who are able to step right in. Go to 1 Chronicles 26. Provision of organized and trained security. Now that's an interesting one. The division of the gatekeepers. Well, what are the gatekeepers? Thankfully, we have not had any security issues here, right? That's right. Don't say anything. But I do think that God has provided for us a secure place with security guards. You get my point, right? Like all of these things that they did, God has provided things for us as well. You see there not only trained security, but treasurers and officials. You know, I never touched the money. We've got a treasurer who's been doing that for the last year, keeping records, sending it on WhatsApp to our leadership group WhatsApp. And we've got these things. Everything that we need to cross the finish line is in place. Well, in 1 Chronicles 27, David even lays up for Solomon a military and tribal leader structure. You know what I would compare that to? I don't want to, you know, obviously we're not a nation. We don't need a military. You know what we do need? We need to be people who go out and share the gospel on the front lines to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We need to be evangelists who are making disciples. Well, we've been working on that. We've got people who are trained and continue training others, and we want to storm the gates of hell and rescue the perishing and care for the dying. We have that. That's ready for crossing the finish line. And the tribal leaders, you know what? The nucleus of the church is the home. Men, husbands, fathers, that's what you are. Your clan, your tribe, you're the leaders. Because if you don't have a healthy home, we won't have a healthy church. So men, let's step up. We've got the men's breakfast. We've got different accountability structures that have been developed and are continuing to grow. We're ready, but we have to keep it in mind. There's an objective and there's a real enemy who wants to destroy our families and destroy our church. But once again, God has provided us with everything we need to cross the finish line. And then in 1 Chronicles 28, you see that David provides final instructions for Israel as well as for Solomon. I challenge you this week, there's 8 chapters, so take 8 days, read a chapter a day and just go through that and see how David did his part to make sure that others were set up for success, but then he trusted God's plan, God's timing, God's sovereignty. What happens because of all that? Well, we get to 1 Chronicles 28, where you see David gathering everyone together. And number 4, the fourth principle, the fourth truth that we see is when you do God's work God's way, he blesses it. We see the fulfillment of the desired purpose. The temple has not yet been constructed, but worship is already happening. Let's look at it together. Verses 1 and 2. David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the officials of the tribes, the officers of the divisions that served the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the stewards of all the property and livestock of the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the seasoned warriors. So all those things that he put into place, now he calls them all together because they need to work together as a team. Do you see the overlap? That's what we did. That's what we've done for these last 4 weeks. As we've gone through the new membership type material, the statement of faith, constitution, it was calling us all together to be unified on the same page, moving in the same direction. And so there's a restating of the situation that we see here. And now let's go to chapter 29. We started here with David, the king, saying to all the assembly, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able. That was his statement of the current situation, and that's my statement of our current situation. I've provided that which I was able. And the finish line is in sight, but we haven't crossed it yet. And what ends up happening as they gather together, jump down to verse 10. As they recount all that the Lord has done and the position that they're in as they're approaching the finish line, worship ensues. Worship swells within their soul to the point of overflowing, and you have David praying. Let's read David's prayer together. Verse 10, therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here, offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and they bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. The fulfillment of the desired purpose. Even before the temple structure was complete, they're worshiping the Lord. That's a powerful prayer. They're giving him praise for all he has already accomplished and for bringing unity amongst them as they long to serve him lovingly. There's full submission to God's plan as well. Because then we get down and you see verse 22. They end up doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. Full submission to God's plan. Verse 22, starting in the second half, it says, and they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time. And they anointed him as prince for the Lord and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king in place of David, his father. And he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty men, and also all the sons of King David, pledged their allegiance to King Solomon. And the Lord made Solomon very great in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Well, obviously, that's the Old Testament kingdom. How does that apply to us? We're nearing the finish line, and already we are seeing the fulfillment of his plans and purposes. We're worshiping him. We're obeying him. We're witnesses for him here in Chingola, and we're giving full submission to his plan and his timing. And although we're not looking for a king, we've talked about three potential elders to come. Notice that that happened at a certain point in time. There was a coronation day, just as we're hoping to see a charter service day. The birthday of the universal church, God's church, happened in Acts 2, but the birthday of Chingola Church is still coming on the day of our charter service. And at that point, I hope that we will rally around those that God puts to be the leaders, and that we'll follow them with singleness of heart as we long to serve the Lord. And when that happens, then you get to the final beautiful picture here. And it's a challenge to the future elders. You see, the fifth thing is the humble and sober response to the weight of responsibility by the next leader or leaders. When we get to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, you see Solomon, instead of flaunting his power and authority, instead of flaunting his riches, he's quite humble. In fact, you see in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 1, Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tent of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. He recognized who the true leader was. And in that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said to God, well, you have shown great and steadfast love to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. O Lord God, let your word to David, my father, be now fulfilled, for you have made me a king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can govern this people of yours, which is so great?" God answered Solomon, "Because this was in your heart and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings had who were before you, and none after you shall have the like." So Solomon came from the high place at Gibeon, from before the tent of the meeting to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. You see, when you do God's work God's way and you get the right people in place, their heart is to be servant leaders, not demanding dictator leaders. And that's the kind of men that God has been bringing to Chingola Church, those that you have recommended. And I can tell you from my conversations with them, they already feel the weight of the responsibility. And they are seeking God's wisdom just as Solomon did. Now let's step back for a moment. What a magnificent picture of the proper response to God's authority and plans. What a magnificent picture David has presented for us in 1 Chronicles. God truly is honored when we do our best to fulfill our responsibilities, but submit to his sovereign authority, plans, and timing. Today, I feel like Moses, standing on the mountain and gazing into the promised land. I see the finish line, and I am so excited for what God has in store for you after I'm gone. Today, I feel like David, having done everything in my power to provide for Chingola Church to be a place where we unite around the common vision of God's glory and where we serve him with skill, with excellence. I've done what I could to ensure that we do things decently and in order. Today, I feel like Paul, leaving a church plant knowing that there are still some things that remain needing to be put in order, but confident that from this congregation, God is raising up godly men to lead us into the next phase of ministry. These men, like the original apostles and like Timothy and Titus, will have the privilege of leading you across the finish line. And so I'm thankful for these men. And I'm thankful for having had the privilege to do my part to get us to this point. And as I look around the room and I look into your eyes, I am thankful for each one of you and your contributions to making us what we are, to the questions raised, to the comments offered in our Bible studies. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me the privilege of serving you and leading you. And so now I echo the prayer of King David. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are the one exalted as head above all. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer to you what we have been offering? All these things come from you, and of your own we have given back to you. We truly are strangers before you and sojourners like all of those who've gone before us have been. And now we're asking for him to continue to lead, guide, and bless. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness, in the uprightness of my heart. I have freely offered these things. And now, as I'm looking at you, I see your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you as well. May the Lord bless us as we move into the future. We want to close today with a song. It's called Bind Us Together, Lord. Bind us together with love.